Spotify, hang your head in shame. This is the album that they have completely and utterly overlooked. It is not on their service. It never has been.
This is an absolute travesty.
Released in May of 1989, 10 Good Reasons by Jason Donovan was, get this, Mix, listen to this because you were not born, the biggest selling album in the UK of 1989. The biggest. And 89 was a bloody big year for music.
Yeah, it would be.
A lot of people not realizing that Jason was actually bigger than Kylie in the UK at that time. Not as talented, okay, just to throw that in there, but he was bigger. He was selling more albums and he was getting chased by more girls down the street. It was that sort of Bieber mania type of thing.
Yeah.
Kylie had it too, absolutely, but really not to the extent in that year at least that Jason had it. Lee's on the line to help us retro review 10 Good Reasons. G'day, Lee.
Hello. I can't believe that he was ever... I don't think he was... Was he ever as popular as Kylie? I don't remember that. I'm going to dispute that.
Well, you were there, so you should know better than us. I just was watching the TV and thinking, God, look at this, because Australia loved putting the news reports of, you know, Jason Donovan's gone to the UK, he's just landed, he was mobbed at the airport, now he's been chased down and people are trying to tangle with his golden hair as he races down the cobblestone streets.
His mullet, as it flew in the wind behind him.
Slow-mo.
We did make him cut that off quite quickly. The mullet had to
you
go.
You did, actually.
Yeah, we weren't accepting that. I think, for me, he kind of like was on the coattails of Kylie. Yeah, it was kind of that whole Neighbours thing, because Neighbours was massive in the UK. And to be fair, they would probably have given Bouncer a record deal if he was available at that time.
Mrs. Mangle?
Yeah, any of them could have got a record deal. It wouldn't have mattered. But yeah, he was. He was genuinely huge for about 2 years.
To be honest with you, Lee, as I recall it, by the end of 1990... every single person in that cast, even Stephen Dennis, had a song.
Yeah.
That's really terrible and tragic. Yeah, don't look them up on YouTube unless you have something to clean your eyes out afterwards.
Yeah, the twins, was it Gail and Gillian? They were with them.
Their song was a rip-off of Bed of a Devil, you know. What was it again?
All Mixed so Up. Confusing. That was it, yeah.
Which way to go? It was, and then it had this, which is Bed of a Devil, you know. They completely stole it.
But they just changed the tune.
Well,
slightly.
We shouldn't say they, because it's as if the Gillian sisters wouldn't be able to read, let alone write a song.
Bless them.
Whoever wrote it.
But we are here to talk about 10 Good Reasons. And Lee, I'm going to just put it right out there. I absolutely love this album, because it's everything Stock Aitken and Waterman. The only thing I would say is that Jason sounds throughout most of his record like he's really struggling. I think these songs were written for females. Yeah. I think he does a great job. This is a hard criticism. I don't mean to be cruel to him. I think Jason Donovan is such a nice man. I think he is he's your typical Aussie guy with the mullet and all of that. Yeah. He's still he thinks very deeply. He's very emotionally attuned. He talks way too much, Jason. I'd hate to actually talk to Jason Donovan if he ever had a rum or a scotch or something. This man really...
He'd talk for a long time.
He just talks a lot of waffle.
Mm. Yeah, he does.
He thinks very deeply. I love him. I think he's awesome, by the way. But yeah, I think I honestly think this. He did a great job with this album. And but yeah, the songs are out of key for him. They just are.
They are, and to be honest, he doesn't have the best voice in the world. He kind of is. It's okay, but it's not amazing. So I agree with you. I don't know whether they were songs that were specific. Well, I know that one was definitely not written for him. So in the UK, his debut single was "Nothing Can Divide Us." Was it "Nothing Can Divide Us"? I'm sure it was "Nothing." Yeah, which apparently was written for Rick Astley, and Rick Astley turned it down. And I think there are demos of Rick Astley singing it. So I don't know whether they wrote specifically for him. It could be. I listened to it early just to refresh myself, and they could have been sung by any PWL artist. You know, they could have taken Jason off and put Sonia in, or they could have taken, you know, Sunita, and they would have been fine.
But to be fair, that was the point of the factory, wasn't it? I mean, half the Kylie songs were recorded by Hazel. Had Got to Be Certain and Turn It Into Love, and like you say, they were versatile songs. You know what? It's interesting when you talk about Nothing Can Divide Us, the debut single being turned down by Rick Astley. I wonder if that's because he wouldn't have been like the key or something, and maybe they couldn't change the key because it would have bastardized the spirit of a song. I don't know. But Jason Donovan, it was ridiculous for his voice. I actually think he doesn't get credit for his voice. I know everyone mocks it. I've seen him live. I even tried to show you, Megs, didn't
I? Yeah, we watched him live and it was reasonable.
And what did I say before I went back? I went, oh, you watch. This is going to be funny. Yes. Poor old Jason, watch him live.
Yes.
And then I was like, actually, because he's revised for songs. That's why. He's revised them to be in the key that he can sing in.
You did set the bar very low, though. That's probably why we were so stunned.
He's got some jobs. He does.
Yeah,
he does.
I've seen him. Really I've heard him twice. Once, iffy. Second time, he did the 10 Good Reasons sort of 30-year anniversary tour. Yes. And I went to see him on that. And to be fair, he was good. He held a note. It was, you know, as you would expect.
Had he revised the songs?
Yeah, he kind of...
Like just became?
Yeah, he changed the pitch of them. It was pretty much the same as the album, but it didn't feel like he was like straining to get the notes, to get the pitch.
And I tell you, you know how much work these guys in the factory did on even the voices to get these songs right. But if anyone wants an example on 10 Good Reasons where you can hear Jason, I believe, really struggling, go and listen to Question of Pride. Every track on this album I think is really good, by the way. Question of Pride, yeah. I love the song. But if you want to hear Jason struggling and clearly like just – it was written for a female voice, I'm sure of it. Lee, 10 Good Reasons, what do you think?
I originally said 10 good reasons, more like 5 good reasons and 5 mediocre reasons.
So rude.
It is rude. But I went back and I re-listened to it before we did this. And I'm going to say, you know, 7 good reasons and 3 mediocre reasons. They were better than I thought, than I remembered. Mm.
This is strong. This is Stock, Aitken & Waterman, you know, pretty much at the peak of their real sugary, poppy factory. What did you make, Megs, as someone coming in and listening to it late? You've heard a lot of these songs through your childhood, but probably not the album as a whole.
No, well, I'd heard the singles, and I love the singles. I think each of them is really, really good. I think the album's really strong, actually. I don't actually think there's much filler, really. I think every song is good in its own right and that you could put it on and enjoy it. Definitely.
And funnily enough, I talk about him straining, right? But Sealed With a Kiss, originally written, by the way, for all the PWL fans out there, Sealed With a Kiss is Jason's Tears on My Pillow, the equivalent, right?
Because, and it's a cover of another song as well.
It's a cover, exactly. So it was originally written for a male, I mean, even the lyrics, it's a male singing about their female love.
Yes.
And he does a great job. It actually suits his vocals. That's the one song I go, there you go, that's right in. And Joseph and his amazing colored technicolored whatever it was, he did a great job in that.
He did, yeah.
The coat show, yeah.
He did. And in kind of like stage productions, he actually really is really good. I think he was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as well for a while.
Did he play Angela Lansbury's character?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? No, he played the car, actually.
Toot toot.
Yeah, that was as much as he could manage. No, I'm going to have to check. I know he was in Priscilla. He did tours of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. He definitely did Rocky Horror. So he's done quite a lot of theatre, and his voice tends to is okay.
Yes, see, and even Andrew Lloyd Webber commented on Jason's interpretation, I suppose, of Joseph. And he did Priscilla live because he turned down the role in the movie, which is one of his biggest regrets. Now, I read his autobiography. I've got to say, reading autobiographies from celebrities is fascinating because you know how I love celebrity, right?
Yeah.
They live in a totally different world. Very they don't know what it's like to wake up and do what we normal human beings do. They have no concept. But how they actually absorb it and live it is very different. Danny Minogue, for example, if you want to see a self-indulgent autobiography, read that. I love Danny. Okay, I'll just preface what I'm about to say by saying I love her. Okay, she's adorable.
Kylie, though.
She's beautiful. Yeah, but she's a lovely lady. But this book shows you how detached from reality she is. Every chapter is, I woke up and I rubbed my eyes. Love and Kisses had sold 3,742 copies, but I still wasn't happy. I wasn't sure why. The world loved me. I had all the adulation I wanted, but something was missing inside of me. That sort of thing. Like truly every chapter starts with like a sales figure, or I got to 37 and I was four copies away from number 36 on the charts. Yeah. It's bizarre. But Jason's autobiography is really interesting to read because it's very down to earth, which I believe is probably why I have such a soft spot for him. I think he's just such an Aussie guy. Mm. And
yeah, the tall poppy syndrome, all of that.
He could be in our family. Like, he really could. Like, he's just your typical Aussie guy. Even the fact that he rode to Kylie's recent Hyde Park show on his bike. I think I'm off on four different tangents here. I'm trying to keep track of four stories
I'm
now.
I'm trying to keep them. I've lost track of the birds. I've got Jake on my bike. I've got Danny Minow.
Where did I start?
No, well, you're trying to say that his autobiography, you're saying that despite his stardom, even from an early
age. That's where I was. I've just remembered. Sorry, I was trying to say that he turned down Priscilla because he was – I don't know what was going on for him, but he was terrified of being accused of being gay.
Oh, right.
And he sued the Face magazine in the UK, and this was catastrophic. It destroyed his career in the UK for quite at least a decade. And, you know, not to mention the fact that Michael had stolen his girlfriend and Michael had been his idol. That is an amazing story because he idolized Michael right from like a young age.
It's
and then this guy, he actually gets to meet. He introduced almost, well, he was introduced to Michael at the same time as Kylie.
I know the story. We watched a little animated film of it that really made me sad. Remember that we watched a little animated film?
Someone made a little cruel thing,
the whole situation. And you didn't like it at all, actually.
Well, it's a bit cruel.
It was an animation with Michael.
It's like me meeting Kylie and then, you know, she goes, very nice meeting you, and then takes you out or something. Like, it's
terrible. The film portrayed Kylie as very, you know, just, sounds good, I'll go with you.
So, sounds fun. I'd like to go back and find that.
Yeah, we should watch it again.
I don't know where we were at, but anyway, he turned down Priscilla because he really didn't want to be, you know, flamboyant. He was really terrified of being labelled homosexual, which made everybody think he was because why are you so defensive about it?
He should have just embraced the whole thing.
Yeah. He destroyed that magazine too. You know,
they had to pay a huge amount of money in damages, and it was kind of like, well, nobody cares really, and if you are, you are, that's great, but why are you making such a big deal out of it? I think he regrets it, doesn't he? He said, you very know big, subsequently yeah. that, you know, hindsight, he would have never done that.
Back to the album though, so what are the standout tracks for you, Lee, on 10 Good Reasons?
Well, I did like Nothing Can Divide Us. That was the first record he released that went to top 10 over here. But Every Day, I Love You More, in brackets, open brackets, close brackets, I really like that one. Change Your Mind, for some reason.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's that change your mind, that you know, that stuttery thing that they did on a lot of their records.
I Should Be So Lucky. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and You Can Depend On Me. There was a bit of that in it as well. You can depend. Yeah, so I pretty much liked. The ones I didn't like were the kind of ballads, so I wasn't keen on Sealed With A Kiss, and I wasn't keen on Especially For You either. But there were others.
I am absolutely obsessed with Change Your Mind. I think it's the equivalent of Kylie's Turn It Into Love from the first album. It's like a very mature track in amongst a lot of fluffiness, even though it could be accused of being fluffy in itself. But I do love the Change Your Mind.
Yeah, it's sophisticated, actually.
I'm really obsessed with it. For me, I love every track. There's not one I don't like on this album. I really love this album. But there is a very cruel song on this, if you want to examine it, Too Late to Say Goodbye. Basically, this whole song is about heartbreak, and Jason's basically Me Too movement. He'd be charged releasing this album because all he does in all of these songs is chase a woman who's rejected him and say, no, 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 please, I've changed, I'm different, let me back.
Yeah.
I'm going to climb through the window. I'm climbing through the window. And
I have had that intonation from some of the lyrics, actually.
Oh, all of them. Like, he's haunting women. Like, how many women have rejected him?
Don't,
I hope it's not
to
the
what
same
they
woman.
Say, man. If it's not true.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing can divide us.
I'm
don't
not
believe
that guy.
That's right. They're all saying I'm having affairs, but I'm not. What a liar. He's a chick. But there's one song on the album where he's actually rejecting the woman. And I tell you, if Jason's not chasing the woman that rejected him, he is nasty as. Listen to this, right? Too Late to Say Goodbye. He's not going to say it to her face. He writes her a letter. By the time you read this letter, I'll be miles away from you. I'm sorry if I hurt you, but it's all that I can do. I've tried to tell you goodbye for so long. Don't try to find me this time because I've already gone. That gets better. And now it's too late to say goodbye, too late to question why. I won't be there watching you cry. And he sings that with quite a lot of happiness in his voice. I won't be there watching you cry. Yeah. And he's dancing.
No. Well, you could interpret that differently. You could say he's not going to be dragged down by a bad relationship. You don't have to interpret it as him as
And then as
nasty.
One verbal slap down, he goes, don't waste your time. I'm sorry. It's too late to say goodbye. So he's so cruel. He won't even say goodbye to her. He just writes her a little letter. And then he, in the second verse, goes on to say how writing the letter is very cathartic for him. And it was much easier to do it this way than say it to your face.
Right. And the poor woman, she didn't find it for a week because he put it on the table and it blew off. And she's like, when, where are you? Oh. Where have you gone? Where? And
is so there a video clip of it?
No.
It wouldn't surprise me because that's exactly the type of video clip. I'm sure he left a letter on a little table in one of his video clips. Yeah. Don't know about
Jesus
blowing away.
Gone for a week. Where is he?
It's a horrible song.
Can I say, it also sounds like Bruno Mars' song Calling All My Lovelies. It's the same sentiment. It's like, I don't really need you. I can just go find other people, that sort of thing. That yes. was the sentiment of that song.
Yes, so. But in that song with Bruno Mars, he's really offended that this woman's rejected him. Jason Donovan is just delighted because whoever this woman is, she's a fruitcake, clearly.
He's going to fly to
like, just go away. I don't want to ever see her. He's genuinely doesn't want to see her. Bruno, that's Aisha, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one where he says, I'm calling.
I've got Aisha waiting, Letitia waiting, all the Aisha's waiting on me.
Yeah, it's pretty funny lyrics. Not once you get used to them, you just sort of accept it, but they're actually hilarious.
Well, he had to find something to rhyme with Alicia and Letitia.
So all the just, Isha's waiting on me.
Yeah, I've got every Isha waiting on me. I don't even know where we're at with this album, but look, at the end of the day, should people put it on?
Yeah, it's a good example of kind of late 80s pop music that is not gonna challenge you. It's not gonna make you think deep thoughts. Unless you kind of like you've gone way into the lyrics to kind of.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've spent like 30 years contemplating the lyrics of this.
Yeah, but to be fair, Stock Aitken and Waterman songs were like that. They could have been singing about like a famine, and we would be sync bopping along to it, and then you'd go, "It's like, am I? What is this about?" Because
you know what, Lee, Heaven and Earth on Enjoy Yourself, Kylie's song, right? Can I tell you a really brief story here? I read back in the day, no internet, and Enjoy Yourself, I think for some reason came out in the UK a little bit earlier than in Australia. And I read this tiny little thing in Smash Hits magazine and it said, blah, 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 great tracks. And it said, and it even has a song about recycling on it, exclamation mark. And I was like, what the hell?
That's
I was in
right.
like year five or something like that. And I'm walking around the playground going, God, she's got a recycling song? Because recycling was big at the time environment. I got it. I listened to that album for a year, no internet, and I couldn't work out what the bloody song was. Guess what it was, Lee? Do you know what song on Enjoy Yourself is about recycling?
No. What could it be?
It ended up being Heaven and Earth.
Mm. Oh, right. Okay. I can see that in a commercial. You know, somebody picking up their plastic bags and putting them in a bin.
I wanted a film clip, Lee. I wanted slow motion of her with the big recycling bin going to the curb.
Taking a tin to the camera. Taking a tin to get her money back.
Counting her pennies. Yeah, but you can. They're quite. Even when she did the Abbey Road session, she said these songs are actually. There was some big rocker in the UK mocked her for saying this, but she said, "I didn't realise how tragic some of these songs were until we slowed them down and sung them differently because they're tragic." And some rocker went, "Oh, Carly, she doesn't even know what her own songs are about." No. Stuff like that. I can't remember who it was. Probably one of those Liam people. Okay, Megs, any interesting facts you've learned about this album?
He re-released it in 2010, reissued it as a new CD with bonus B-side tracks and remixes.
You know what? And I'd love to listen to that. But Spotify, what is that about Lee or Megs? Why won't Spotify have 10 good reasons on it? It's the biggest selling UK album of 89.
I don't know. They must have a they must have a good reason for them not to put it on. But I don't know.
And it's 10 good reasons, but he's got 11 tracks on it as well because of Especially For You, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes. I'm not a fan of that song.
Did you just say you're not a fan of Especially For You?
No. He did. He said that earlier as well.
I did say it earlier, yeah. I wasn't a fan of it. It was a bit twee and a bit...
So when Kylie does it in concert now, and it's one of those twee cheesy moments.
No, I like it when she does it in concert because she like gets the audience to sing it.
Yes.
And sing the Jason part, which is great. But the kind of, at the time, it just felt a little bit twee and a little bit... And whenever they performed it, they always did the bit in the middle where she'd run across the stage and he'd leap into his arms. And
but
just
we love that bit, Lee.
I just wanted him to drop her or her to go sailing past him and go into the to the side. And yeah, just once.
I think Lee wrote that song we were talking about before. He's a cruel man.
He just wants something novel to happen.
Novel? He wants Kylie to drop on her ass. That would have knocked the cheese out of the song, wouldn't it, Lee?
It would have done, yeah. He's currently starring in a TV advert for chocolate over here in the UK, which he plays up the neighbours thing. So he kind of especially for you, I've got this chocolate. There's even a dog, a bouncer dog in the video.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
in the advert. Yeah, it's a little bit.
Is it a bit cringy?
Yeah, it's a bit Jason. Why are you doing that? But you know, a pop star's got to earn a coin somehow. And if you're not selling records, then you've got to find other avenues. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's a good way to round this off. Every single track on this album could have been used in that commercial. For example, like there are 10 good reasons why you buy this chocolate.
Yeah.
And then you could have somebody going to reach a Cadbury's bar and he could slap their hand and go, change your mind.
Yeah. Very good.
Every day I love a bit more chocolate. Yeah.
He's already worked especially for you in there by the sound of it. And then right at the end, when you think the ad's over, it can fade to black and then he can come back and kiss it. And because that's sealed with a kiss. I don't know how much people are going to take from this retro review of 10 Good Reasons, but I say go and listen to it. What do you say?
Yes, I say go and listen to it. But I wanted to briefly mention also how Kylie wouldn't let him sing during the Especially For You.
Now, listen, I'm glad you brought this up. This is a travesty because people keep saying that, and including Jason, he gets out on his little stage where he's doing talking to the audience thing, and he says that Kylie wouldn't let him sing.
Yes, right? He was very offended.
Not true.
Well, but Dad, even you said it before he said that.
Yes, I did. But we found out the reason. She's so classy. She didn't directly address it, but she made sure she wove it into an interview with that horrible UK man when the Spice Girls were on. She basically said he'd come up on his bike. It was unplanned. And he said that he had a sore throat. And she was trying to save him from a really bad headline. Listen to the comparison between her singing it and him, his aging, croaky old voice. So she was trying to save him. He hadn't prepared, rehearsed, done his la 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 la. None of that, right?
Yeah.
It depends on how hard the bike seat was, I suppose. But nonetheless, she was trying to be protective. And then she got criticised by him for it.
Yeah,
silly old bald
but
man.
She was pushing the microphone to herself and making sure, basically pushing his head away and making sure that he can't get anywhere near it. It was just so obvious. It made it more of an embarrassing headline than it would have been if he just went, especially for you.
Perhaps it's one of those things where your ex is constantly turning up and you just want them, you want them to go away and just get on with their life, and every time you turn around, he's there. Do you remember when we did this song? It's like, oh, God, Jason, please.
Yes. Hey, Lee, thank you for helping us retro review 10 Good Reasons, possibly the least amount of content about an album ever. I don't know where we went.
Yeah.
But it's been a pleasure as always, Lee, and we're looking forward to doing some more Madonna work with you really soon. We've got something special coming up. We're going to be talking about the most iconic Madonna photos.
Yes.
And Megs, as always, has this been an educational experience for you?
It has. I have learnt a lot about pop culture.
to think that only 30 minutes ago your big long legs were sticking out the end of a doona and you were angrily shushing me away.
Well,
with me whispering in your ear, change your mind.
Yeah.
Change your mind.
I couldn't even make sense of it. You're like, we're going to be reviewing this album.
See, not many people enter their day with such
no
such a grand way.
An interesting way. Yeah.
Thanks, Lee.
You're welcome.